live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, Minister Charlie McConnellogue believes the National Development Plan, which has been published today, is a strong one for Donegal. A retired orthopaedic consultant says a government proposal to build three new hospitals for elective surgery could have a serious knock-on effect for Letterkenny University Hospital. The Health Minister has criticised protesters who showed up outside the home of Chief Medical Officer Dr Tony Houlihan, and the Road Safety Officer with Donegal County Council is encouraging young people to come forward with ideas on developing a road safety programme. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport. First in news though, the Public Expenditure Minister has insisted safeguards are in place to ensure value for money on the new National Development Plan. Michael McGrath says external experts will be brought in at tender stage in a bid to avoid a repeat of the National Children's Hospital overruns. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has the latest.
It's a plan of huge scale, €165 billion in capital funding over the next decade. We've seen such projects ballooning cost in the past, but Minister for Public Expenditure Michael McGrath says new safeguards are in place.
When we are seeing an increase in the scale of public investment that we're providing here today, we also have to take a step change in our approach. We have to make sure that we're getting value for money.
All the road projects from the previous NDP have made it into this plan, along with big public transport moves like Bus Connects in all five cities, Dart Plus and the Western Rail Corridor, along with Metrolink for Dublin. But most don't have timelines, which Transport Minister Eamon Ryan has defended.
It will have to go into the planning system, and I wish I could say exactly how much that will take. I've been involved in the Metro project for 25 years.
The Taoiseach told journalists this wasn't a wish list, but a solid plan for how the country addresses issues around climate, housing, health and infrastructure over the next decade. The key questions will remain around whether it can be delivered. Sean Defoe at Pádraig Ó Cuaigh in County Cork.
Well, Minister Charlie McConnellogue believes the plan, which has been published today, is a strong one for Donegal. As predicted, the plan will focus on the development of a number of key road projects in Donegal. The plan commits to €35 billion worth of infrastructure spending on transport throughout the country until 2030. That includes funding for the Ballybuffet Stranorlar Bypass, the Letterkenny to Manor, Cunningham to Lifford Dual Carriageway. Minister McConnellogue says the objective of the plan is ensuring flagship investment projects in the county continues.
I think it's a very strong national development plan for Donegal. Really importantly, the three key roads infrastructure projects in the county, that being the Ballybuffet-Stranorlar Bypass, the Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham, Bunahee Link Project, and also the Manor to Lifford Dual Carriageway, are all included for prioritisation under this national development plan period, so that work and planning can continue in that, and that they are the funding and agreement that they will be funded is secure in the National Development Plan. Also, the A5 as well, importantly, and likewise as well in relation to significant investment in relation to water and housing, which will be really important for the county in the time ahead. Also then, from an agriculture and marine point of view, significant investment to support farming and the food sector, and indeed our marine sector in terms of harbour development, including funding to allow continued progress in Killybegs and, for example, Greencastle. So overall, it's a strong national development plan, and alongside, of course, that then the continued progress and development of the shared island approach and the €500 million funding for cross-border projects.
A retired orthopaedic consultant says a government proposal to build three new hospitals for elective surgery could have a serious knock-on effect for Letterkenny University Hospital's ability to recruit consultants. Mr. Peter O'Rourke says there are fewer elective surgeries taking place in Letterkenny, and that makes the hospital less attractive for consultants who may find themselves unable to operate at the level they would wish. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that the hospital has greatly expanded its services but was never funded properly for what it does, and that means planned surgery gets cancelled. He says if adequate funding is provided, that will change.
Letterkenny needs a significant input of cash to actually increase the number of beds. And then you probably need to ring fence beds for certain disciplines. We have a very large cancer service now. We have a large renal service with dialysis, etc. But none of these were ever completely funded. It was really a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the only thing that actually gives in a hospital is planned surgery. You can't stop emergency surgery. The only thing that you can stop is planned surgery, and the surgical services have been decimated over the years. And the problem is, if they get further decimated, the hospital becomes unviable, because if you can't deal with emergencies, then you can't have a hospital. One of the other issues, of course, is the fact that the NTPF funded private, effectively funded the development of private hospitals, and now the government wants to build three new elective hospitals. And if you have three large new hospitals in three different towns, like Dublin, Cork and Galway, which would be attractive for a lot of people to work, there may be an exodus of staff to those units from places, again, like Letterkenny, making recruitment of staff even harder.
What do you think we need to be doing here to retain what we have and improve what we can offer and how we do it in Letterkenny?
The hospital needs to be better funded, basically. If you have extra beds, you can actually, as a doctor, treat patients and actually do the work that you've been paid to do. Donegal is a fabulous place to live. I've been here 25 years. When I was appointed, one of the people who appointed me told me I wouldn't have to stay here forever because there's loads of jobs coming up in Dublin. That is the attitude that people have to Donegal. It's an attractive place to live. At the moment, it's not an attractive place to work.
Momentum continues to build ahead of a second 100% MICA redress demonstration planned for Dublin on Friday. The demonstration will begin at 12 noon at the Garden of Remembrance at Parnell Square, and from there, affected homeowners and supporters will proceed through the city. A number of businesses across Donegal have announced that they will close to enable as many people as possible support the protest. The PRO of the MICA Action Group, Michael Doherty, is urging those who can make the trip to Dublin to show the government they haven't gone away.
We're asking all of Donegal out of a face to be there, the same for Mayo and for the other four affected counties as well. This is a massive opportunity. We're tagging it here, feet on the street, and that's exactly what we need. We need government to see that we haven't gone away and that we are going to see this through to the bitter end. They have done what they could to divide us with a 350 cap suggestion at the time, which would see 60% of our homeowners maybe okay and the other 40 abandoned. They're not going to split the flock. We're there in one voice, and we have to be in Dublin in one voice come Friday. And it's absolutely imperative. Everybody asks themselves, why could I not be there? And go make it happen. If your answer was no, go make it happen.
And in terms of how the process is progressing at the minute, the Department of Housing officials on the Defective Blocks Working Group submitted their recommendation, but the homeowners did not sign off on this.
No, we didn't. We come back to them to say that it was so far off the market, really needed to be rejigged. And that's something, if it was left to the homeowners, could have been done in about 2 hours. But at the pace that we see the officials working at, that would have been probably another couple of weeks. So they come back to say that there were some minor corrections, and they submitted it anyway. So we have not signed off on it. We will be submitting our own version of it, an accurate version of it from a homeowner perspective, to the minister and also to the three party leaders that are in coalition.
Andrew McGowan is one of those business owners who has taken the decision to close on Friday. He's the owner of AMG Plumbing Solutions and told today's 9 till noon show that the MICA crisis has now become everybody's problem.
We're closing up just and heading down to stand with the people. Not directly affected, but a lot of houses they go on, they do work on, you can see the cracks and you see the stress and strain on families. Like, it's just not fair. It's not fair. It is time everybody stands together for their neighbour, for their friend, for their family. People's good enough to get me in to do work, and you're watching them get up in the mornings, get their weans ready, get out to work. There's very few people that's given anything in life, and everybody I go to see is out working hard to build their home, to have a safe place. If you have a bad day, you close your door and you come in, and that's meant to be our safe place, and that's been taken away from people for all these years. It's just disgusting. It's time something was done, and now is the time for people to stand up and support everybody and go with the one goal for 100% redress and no less.
And if they ask you, where were you on October the 8th, 2021, you say you were in Dublin making a change.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's a bigger problem. Everybody has their own problem, but this is one that's bigger than everybody's individual problems. So at that time, everybody bands together and just heads down the road and show that we're not here to be pushed over.
The health system will be able to handle both the flu and COVID this year, according to the HSE. There wasn't one single confirmed case of flu last year, but health officials say that won't happen this winter. Those eligible for the flu vaccine are being urged to get their dose as soon as they can. Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE, Dr. Colm Henry, says the health system can manage both COVID and the flu.
The vaccine flood wall is holding tight. We see an extraordinary this weakening of the link between the numbers of cases and the harm they're causing. Before, we were so used to that absolute predictability of the link of cases and harm that for every 1,000 cases we saw 30 to 50 hospitalizations and 3 to 5 people in ITU. That link is severely weakened.
The health minister has criticised protesters who showed up outside the home of Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan. A number of anti-vaccine protesters gathered outside the home of the CMO. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says there's a time and place for legitimate protest.
In general, as I said, when it happened originally to Simon Harris a few years ago, I think there is a very important and legitimate place for protest in this country, and outside Leinster House or outside departments, I just don't think there's any place for targeting people's homes in our country.
The government is being urged to introduce NCT-style inspections for rental properties. It comes after new figures show 93% of tenancies checked last year did not meet minimum legal standards. Threshold CEO John Mark McCafferty says any new rent properties being let out should have to be properly inspected.
Pragmatism would need to come in here in terms of existing properties, but I suppose what we're arguing is that you stitch in an NCT for new properties into the market so that the landlords are ensuring that they're meeting the requirements as part of the registration of the tenancies.
Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Yes, it is time for sport. We say good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We're going to start with some major news in boxing. And after all the talk and speculation, Jason Quigley will fight for the WBO middleweight title next month. The Donegal fighter faces champion Demetrius Andrade in New Hampshire on Friday, November the 19th. The fight will be Andrade's fifth defence of the belt. This has been brewing since May, and Jason knows he's going in against a top opponent.
He's a great champion. He's very avoided in the fight game for very certain reasons, because of his ability, because of how good he is. You know, any of the world champions out there are avoiding him because it's a massive risk for them to take coming up against him.
Well, Jason added, it's a dream come true to fight for a title and knows what he has to do.
It's the old kind of saying, look, this is a dream. This is why you started the sport. This is everything you do. What does this mean for me? This is my job. You know, this is what I do. This is what I love to do. I get into the ring and I want to become the best in the world. And, you know, this is my opportunity to be that now, taking dreams and taking notions as a kid when you're younger, putting all that aside. This is just me reaping the rewards of the hard work that I have put in my career, the discipline that I have put in, the patience that I have put in throughout my career. And it's time now for me to go and collect what I deserve, what I've put the hard work in for. And I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get in that ring. Everything in the lead up to this fight is going to be ruthless. It's going to be relentless, and that's not going to change as soon as we get into the ring. But that world title is coming back to Ireland, and that's full stop.
Jason Quigley already sounding confident following today's confirmation that he will fight for the WBO World Middleweight title next month against Demetrius Andrade. And you can watch an interview with Jason later on this evening on HighlandRadio.com. Now to Gaelic Games. The Donegal CCC have confirmed the fixture details for the fourth round of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. 7 of the 8 games will be played next Saturday afternoon, all starting at 3 o'clock. That's St Michael's against Killybegs, Termon versus McCools, St Noel's going to Milford, Bundoran hosting St Eunan's, Glenswilly at home against Neave Connell, Ardragh making the trip to Ballyshannon to play Éire, while Glenfinn will host Four Masters.
In the other game, with both Kilcare and Gweedore already into the quarterfinals and no relevance on the result, they will play on Sunday at 3 o'clock in Towny. There will be more talk on the championship, the Donegal championship, and indeed the Tyrone Intermediate championship as well, with Brendan Devaney tonight on the DEL Debate podcast. His guest tonight talking about Donegal football is Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat, plus the interview pieces with St Union's manager Rory Cavanagh and Owen Rose manager Paddy Campbell, the Donegal native, who is managing the Tyrone side this year. They had a big one on Saturday against rivals Ahayarn. Also on the show, now London-based coach Michael Boyle. That's the DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney tonight. It's available on our website and you can tune in live after the 7 o'clock news as well. Brian Lacy has become the latest Kildare legend to join Glenn Ryan's star-studded backroom team. The 1998 All-Star links up with Johnny Doyle, Anthony Rainbow and Dermot Early. Cross-channel soccer, Claudio Ranieri is poised to take on a third Premier League job, this time with Watford. The Italian has reportedly agreed a two-year deal to replace Kisto Montuth at the Vicarage Road dugout. Ranieri has previously managed Chelsea and Leicester, and most recently had 20 months in charge of Sampdoria in Italy. Manchester City have lodged a complaint alleging one of their backroom staff was spat at by a fan during yesterday's Premier League game against Liverpool at Anfield. Liverpool are said to be investigating the matter. Jacob Stockdale and Rob Little remain doubtful ahead of Ulster's URC meeting with Benetton this coming Friday. They're recovering from respective ankle and back problems. Stuart McCluskey remains out with a hamstring injury, while Jordy Murphy is recovering from a training ground injury. In motorsport, Craig Breen and co-driver Paul Nagel's WRC future should be announced within the next 10 days leading up to WRC Spain. The pair had another impressive podium at this weekend's Rally Finland, where they finished third. That's now three consecutive podiums in the WRC for the Irishmen. And finally, in Formula One, next year's season is set to conclude early in mid-November. The finish is designed to avoid a clash with the start of the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, which will be held in December. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment. Catherine, the DL Debates on later after 7. Our next bulletins with Jermot after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Oisin. Returning to some news now. The quick actions of a member of the public have been praised following the rescue of a teenage girl off Bundoran Beach at the weekend. Bundoran Ornalai and the Rescue 118 helicopter were tasked shortly after 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon following a report from Malinhead Coast Guard that three people had got into difficulty after getting caught up in a rip current, and while two had made it to safety, a third, the 14-year-old, was being taken out to sea. As the crew made their way to the scene, a member of the public grabbed a life buoy, jumped into the water and made his way to the girl, where he held her until the lifeboat arrived. Brian Gillespie is Bundoran Ornalai helm.
We were launched on Saturday afternoon for reports of two people who were washed into the rip current on the main beach in Bundoran. Turned out it was a 14-year-old girl and it was an elderly man who seen the incident happen on the beach, and he entered the water with a life ring to assist the young girl. The young girl was with her father and her two other siblings, 11 and a 9-year-old, who the father managed to get out of the water, but he just couldn't get to the third girl.
And indeed, the quick actions of this member of the public was indeed phenomenal on Saturday.
Absolutely phenomenal. Peter, who we know locally there in Bundoran, entered the water, grabbed one of the life rings. Peter would be an experienced sea swimmer anyway, but he entered the water to assist and was able to manage. He wasn't able to make it back to shore because of the strength of the current, but he was able to keep the girl afloat until we arrived.
And I'm sure it was a very frightening experience for the family involved.
Absolutely a frightening experience. They were from Drogheda. They were on their holidays for the weekend, and very traumatising experience for them all. Luckily on the day we were launched within 4 minutes of being paged, and as you may know, Bundoran, the beach is only 2 minutes away, so we were on scene within 6 minutes of being paged, along with our colleagues from the Rescue 118 helicopter in Sligo. We took the girl on board and Peter, who was also very tired at the time, and we had the ambulance service on the way back to the lifeboat station in Bundoran, where we assessed them. And they were released from the scene following being assessed by our own paramedics and advanced paramedics that we have on the lifeboat station and the ambulance service who arrived.
forecast now. It's going to be bright this evening with sunny spells and scattered showers. There will be clear spells and further scattered showers tonight with lowest temperatures of 4 to 8 degrees. Closing headlines. The Public Expenditure Minister has insisted safeguards are in place to ensure value for money on the new National Development Plan. Michael McGrath says external experts will be brought in at tender stage in a bid to avoid a repeat of the National Children's Hospital overruns. Meanwhile, Minister Charlie McConnellogue believes that the plan is a strong one for Donegal. Momentum continues to build ahead of a second 100% MICA redress demonstration planned for Dublin on Friday. And retired orthopaedic consultant Mr. Peter O'Rourke says a government proposal to build three new hospitals for elective surgery could have a serious knock-on effect for Letterkenny University Hospital. That's it for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6 p.m. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 4th of October. The death has taken place of John Coyle, 62A Curly Hill Road, Strabane. Funeral leaving Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleyparish.com/webcam. The death has taken place of Willie McLaughlin, White Paddy, Carol Moore, Mallon. Willie's remains will repose at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Lag, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of Adrian Doherty, Creasla Beg, Creasla and formerly of Kirkstown, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his late residence in Creasla from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla on Wednesday at 12 noon with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. House strictly private to family only, please. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Crumlin and Mater Hospitals, Dublin. The death has taken place of Margaret Hooton, Portaline, Glengad, Mallon. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Anya's residence at Gortyarn, Carndonagh. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 to St Patrick's Church, Ahaclay, Mallon, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Patricia Conway, 1 Glenelly View, Plum Bridge. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Plum Bridge at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Michael Gallagher, Mirabeau Steakhouse, Rimelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Neighbours and friends welcome. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv, St Mary's Church, Rimelton. And the death has taken place of Audrey Ramsay, Findrum Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Convoy Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral can be viewed live on Craig's Media Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director.